Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Praise God. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man. We are live on a beautiful Tuesday night on this October 31st, Harvest Day. And we are live on the air. So
I had a half an inch of snow in my house that Harvest Day.
Me? None. Snow free. We don't do snow before November. There's no snow until Christmas music can come on, and that's in November. So, we're live now, and here's what we got. We're going to talk some faith. We got a little bit of fun. We got some sports updates from last night and a little bit of World Series tonight. And that is what we got. So, we are at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road as normal. We're northwest of an Admiral / Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. We're directly across the street from a Kmart store. And we're in the back, we're kind of towards the back of the McDonald's restaurant, so we're kind of towards the bathroom. If you want to come in and talk to us, you can. Now, if you're thinking, how can I listen to this program? If you want to listen, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. You can click on the link. And when you go to blogtalkradio.com, you search Upfront Entertainment. You click on the Upfront Entertainment link. You'll see The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And you'll see all 35 episodes that we've done. We've done 35 episodes. This is number 36. We've done a lot of great ones. For example, last night I talked about overcoming fear and overcoming, but fear is part of it. It's overcoming. And the scripture we used was where it talks about how Jacob was wrestling with God, and he ended up winning. So now, it's been awesome. It's really been an awesome show. You have a lot of my sports predictions that I've done. And so, yep, it's been amazing. And so I am going to start tonight's show with a word of prayer, but after two more announcements. One of those is this. It is a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And I already told you how you could do that on either your smartphone, your tablet, your desktop, or your laptop. Now, you're also thinking, maybe, you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to talk to this Miracle Man guy.
Yeah,
that being me. So you're thinking you'd like to talk to me maybe while the kids are out collecting candy or whatever. And maybe you'd like to, maybe you want to call me. Maybe you want to ask me what kind of candy I like and give me some candy. I demand some candy. I demand it. I demand some candy from all of my listeners. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be that demanding, but if you want to tell me your favorite candy, or more importantly, if we want to talk to me about something, if you want to talk to me about faith or sports, whatever, anything but politics. We have great talk shows out there that you can listen to talk about that with, but I'm not one of them. But you can call in to the Preacher and the Milkman show at 215-383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. And you'll press 1. It'll get you right into the you'll go to the screener, and that'll get you into the show. So we can talk about candy. I mean, faith, sports, whatever else you wanted to talk about. Oh, by the way, Preacher Man, did you hear me say that I demanded candy from my listeners?
No, but that's good. Give me some too.
I canceled it because then I said the candy's not the most important thing. Because salvation is.
The American Dental Association is the one that created Halloween. They want to rot your teeth. I spend thousands of dollars on my children's teeth, and then they give them caramel to pull the fillings out. Tell me that's not the American Dental Association.
They give them caramel on Halloween once at the dentist office?
No, you would never do that.
Yeah, you know what would be the what would really make me mad is if I was a little kid and I went trick or treating and they gave me carrots. That would make me I'd be infuriated.
Well, I thought about carrots and celery. Put a little thing of ranch dressing for you.
Bible verse in the bag, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, Bible verse in the bag to at least make it somewhat scriptural.
All right, I'm over here.
Okay, but anyhow, yeah, we were just having a little, fun about. So, now, to get to the true meat and true meaningfulness of the show, I'm going to start with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great day. Lord God, not the fact that it's Halloween, but the fact that it's just another great day on earth. And I thank you, Lord God, that you just blessed me as I do the show tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you blessed me to minister to these listeners. And I thank you that in the name of Jesus, my listenership, this listenership will grow exponentially, quickly. And I claim that all of the finances that I have need of are coming in for my wonderful equipment. And it's going to be great. It really is going to be. I say just thank you, Lord God, that you just bless my mouth tonight and bless these listeners as I minister, as we minister in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into the word, I'm going to remind you something about Halloween. Now, folks, you parents can get mad at me if you want, but I'm not trying to stop anybody from doing it. I will say this. I'm educating you. I'm going to tell you the biblical truth. Halloween was designed to be. What was the story? What was the original story about Halloween having to do with All Saints?
I'm saying,
what was the idea that the original Halloween day was supposed to be All Saints Day?
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. I don't have to holler across
the room. Sorry.
I'll be right back.
But Halloween originally was supposed to be called All Saints Day. It was supposed to have something to do with saints. It was that Christians would go door to door. Christian children would go door to door and they would ask for alms, kind of like how the kids now dress up and go and ask their neighbors for candy or go to the mall or wherever on Halloween night and ask for candy. It's like that. But man turned it, changed it, made it very spooky, and over time put all this other stuff in it, and all this other very unbiblical stuff in these. It's not as much about the costume as it is about the spirit behind it. The problem with Halloween is not the candy, and it's not the costume. It's the spirit. The spirit of Halloween is wicked. It's not godly. You can take this for a grain of salt if you want to. I'm just educating you on this. Now, what was the story about it in Saints? What it was originally meant to be?
You're expecting me to have some good answers on that?
Because I remember Doc Barkley talked about this before.
Right. And it, yeah, and you're, I'm going to mess it up, but it's like it's a Christian Halloween, a Christian holiday to counteract Halloween, which was really a wicked holiday. When you get right down to the bare facts of what this is all about.
Because I had thought that originally what became Halloween was originally All Saints Day or something like that.
Yeah.
It was originally Christian and then man, you know, messed with it and all that.
Well, that could be the case, and I might have my timeline messed up. And if Pastor said it that way, I believe him.
Yep, that's what I remember him saying. But folks, you can take this all for a grain of salt if you, like I just said, you can take it for a grain of salt if you want to. I'm not gonna control you. It's up to your mind to decide how you go about this. I know I'm still gonna eat some candy, you know, in the next couple of days, but that doesn't mean I celebrate the holiday. I'm just eating some candy. I don't dress up. I don't wear these crazy costumes. I don't entertain the spirit. I'll eat a little bit of candy, but that's about the closest to it I'll get. Now, let's get into the true meat of the Word of God on faith.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are going to
keep going, man.
We are going to go to where we usually do, which is Hebrews 11. To read some
All right, can you hear me, Rivers?
Yes, preacher.
All right, now Rivers is broadcasting inside. I'm outside walking around with all the trick or treaters. Wonder Woman just walked by. Say again?
There's trick-or-treaters outside.
Oh, yeah.
You giving them any tracks yet?
But they did. No, and they didn't do any tricks, so I'm not going to give them a track if they don't do a trick. But this is pretty cool. While the Miracle Man is turning to his Bible verse, I can broadcast on this computer and kind of keep the show moving right along. As he always says, don't forget, we're here where you can get America's most wonderful fry, the McDonald's fry. And you can get a big, tall glass of Dr. Pepper.
Coca-Cola.
Dr. Pepper.
Coca-Cola, your choice.
And there's nothing more exciting than to have trick-or-treaters running everywhere, drinking Dr. Pepper and eating your french fries. For the trick-or-treaters,
okay, now.
Anyways, it's making it work. I'm done now. And I go back over to Rivers' scripture he's going to read tonight. And then I'm going to dig some more information on All Saints Day for you there. Right, Miracle Man?
Yes. Alrighty. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is, well, it's not, so that what is seen, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did, and by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. And by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. I'm still going. I'm just turning the page. Sorry. He was taken. After he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who serves to anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same purpose. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so that this one man, and he was as good as dead. Man, descendants who are as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God touched him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to them, "This is through Isaac, and your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on his on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the pressures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover with the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel.
Pause for just 30 seconds.
Of the throne. And God consider him who endured such oppression of sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now we're going to go to, we're going to open up to Genesis chapter 33. We're going to read some more to find out what happens with Jacob. Place down. Jacob looked up and there was Esau. What's happening here is that Jacob was going to meet Esau, and now he's found Esau. Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservant and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the back, in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the maid servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all these droves?" I meant to find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I will accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard from one day, all of the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant, while I move along slowly, at the pace of the droves before me, and that of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." Esau said, "Then let me leave some of my men with you." "But why do that?" Jacob asked. "Just let me find favor in the eyes of my Lord." So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, he went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Succoth. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohi, which means Israel. So he called that tent Israel. That altar he called it Israel. Jacob, Esau was trying to be a lot nicer to Jacob. Now, but Jacob didn't necessarily want these other men that Esau had for him. So he just stayed with his men. Now, this thing about the author and finisher of our faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God preached. We strongly believe it. It's totally true. You can't really get faith by reading your Bible. It is extremely important that you read your Bible every day. That's not how you build up your faith, though. The way you build up your faith is by doing what you're doing right now, listening to me teach from the Word of God, or going to church, or hearing the Bible on CD. This faith thing, the idea of this faith thing, is through the contact of, it comes through your ear. Totally through your ear. Which is amazing, because then I don't have to look at it through my eye. Even though, by the way, I am totally believing God from my eyesight to be made manifest in the name of Jesus. It's going to come right straight to me. And I'm going to see. And it's going to be so amazing. And I'm going to be able to see everybody. But He's the author and the finisher. If He starts a miracle in your life, Jesus is not a part-way healer. Or a part-way deliverer. Or just gives you half the money you need. And can you imagine this woman with the issue of blood in Mark and Luke and Matthew? Can you imagine that woman with the issue of blood? She had been bleeding for 12 years, and she shows improvement from God after Jesus speaks to her, but she still bleeds a bit. That's not what happened. He healed her all the way. All the way. That fish's mouth, the man who needed that money for the taxes, it was in the mouth of the fish. Remember that parable? And you know what happened? That coin that was in that fish's mouth was enough to pay the taxes. That'd be like in our life if we're desperate and we need to pay a mortgage bill, mortgage payment, our taxes. Boy, do we pay a lot of taxes. Our utility. Man, I wish we could get rid of these utility monopolies. But, you know, yeah. Sorry to complain. I'm saying, but you know, that to say Jesus is the provider. He's the provider. Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. He's the encourager. Like he'll encourage you. Like if you're depressed, if you're going through some kind of hard time, you pray and you ask God, maybe you know why you're like this. It could be something really made you upset, so you're really upset and you get depressed. Other times, nothing may have happened, and you don't know why you're feeling so down. Thing is, you got to ask God to help you. And you got to ask Him, Lord, why do I feel this way? Help me fix this. But it works in a lot of great ways. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and will see the work done to completion. That's what that finisher part means. He'll do what He said He would do in His word. But what better night? Trying to think of a better night than Halloween night that you could give your life to Christ. Now, there's other nights like maybe Christmas or something that might be as good, as great, but I can't think of any that's better. But here's the thing. This stuff that I talked to you about, Jesus, who's doing miracles, He's the author and finisher of your faith. He'll do what He said He would do in His word. Two things need to happen. One, you need to be asking God for that miracle. You have not because you were asking not. Imagine if I was little and my mom always counted on me to tell her when I was hungry. And she never said, "Rivers, come and eat," when I was little. Imagine if she just had me tell her always. When you're real little, that wouldn't be a good idea. But as children of God, especially as adults, He knows what we have need of before we tell Him. But He wants us to ask Him. So I'm going to test this right now. Lord God, You said in Your word that You would heal my body. You would heal my eyes. Now, Jesus, I claim that in the name of Jesus, that my eyes are open and that I will see all these great people. Amen. That's how it works. I just showed you how you can ask God for something. If you're not asking Him for it in prayer, you're not going to receive. Now, that won't necessarily work unless you do the next thing. That is this. You need to have a personal relationship with my Jesus. You need to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior in order for these great things that we read about and those things happening and these great miracles and all these great provision that God does. You need to have a working relationship with Jesus in order for that to work for you. And maybe you have asked Him as your personal Lord and Savior, but you've been totally not walking with Him, being a prodigal, or whatever else is going on there. You need to get that fixed. And what a greater time than right now to get that fixed. or if you're not saved, never ask him into your Lord. I mean, never ask him into your life. Great time to do that right now. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. You can call that number that I gave you earlier, 215-383-3810. 215-383-3810. Press 1, you'll go through the screener. You'll be on live, on the show live. And I can talk to you, and I can show you what a relationship with Christ is truly like and what it can do for you. Yes, God, I will do that. Yes. If you're one of those two kinds of people that I just said, either you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you ran away from him, say this with me, please. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come in to me right now. Make me fresh and new. Show me who I ought to be. Teach me what I ought to be. Make me fresh and new. Help me, God, to come home . Forgive me of all my sin. I start to doubt today, fresh and new, for you. Amen. You just did that. Took just a little over 15 seconds. It was painless. Didn't cost you any money. You've come home. You've come home. Those of you who didn't know him, that knew him maybe, but you ran away from him, you've came home. And those of you who accepted him for the first time, welcome to the kingdom. And to know that on this Halloween night, which has become Satan's holiday, that people could say, I'm giving my life to Christ, or would choose to come home to be with Jesus. Amen. And I just thank you, Jesus, for working in these people's lives. In the name of Jesus. Now, on this great Tuesday night, now we have some sports that we are going to get into. We start with We start with NFL. What's going on? What? It's going down. Sorry, folks, we were having some technical thing, but that music, yes, that music can only mean one thing. It is time for NFL update, where we go after, where we go over the game or games since last show. And we have last night on Monday Night Football, you had the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Denver Broncos in KC. The Chiefs defeated the Broncos by a score of 29-19.
Chiefs beat the Broncos?
29-19. Uh-huh. So what you have now is you have Chiefs at 6-2, Broncos 3-4. To give you an idea on the AFC West, then you have the Chargers right near them, and then you have the Raiders, who are a little bit better off than that. But, you know, you had Denver, who was struggling with turning the ball over. You had a fumble return for a touchdown. Couple different gifts that Denver's quarterback threw. They're called interceptions. I like calling them gifts to the other team. When the quarterback throws the ball, shows it, it's intercepted, it's intercepted. Going back the other way. That's a gift to the other team. You got to keep your hand on the football. You're a quarterback, you know. But I know it's defense. But that's what happened in the NFL last night. And the Patriots traded both of their backup quarterbacks. One is going to San Francisco to be a starter there. The other, I forget where he's going. But, yeah, big trade. You had those guys traded off from the Patriots. So the Patriots are right now putting all the eggs in one basket and relying strictly on Brady. Brady's like 41, 42 now. He's been getting sacked a lot this year. He's been doing a good job, but he's been getting sacked a lot. And all it takes is one big sack, and you could go down with a broken collarbone. I'm not sure if it's smart to get rid of both of your backup quarterbacks, but apparently they think they can trust him. So that's what you got there with the Patriots. And yes, in case you're asking, I am a Patriot fan. Not necessarily more than I am a Lions fan. I mean, we talk about the Lions because it's one of our local teams here, but I do still really like the Patriots, and so does my cousin Josh. Both me and him both. As well as my brother. Now, the big sports story of the night.
Right. The testing Wolf- 1, 2, 3.
Dun, 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 dun. Tonight in Los Angeles, you have the Houston Astros and the
Los Angeles
to decide the World Series. This is the sixth. Houston is up 3-2. And if Houston wants to win, it's all over. Houston is the champion of the baseball world of 2019. If Los Angeles wins tonight, then it goes on to a game 7, which will be tomorrow night in Los Angeles. I hope the Astros can go up tonight because they have I think they have a very good chance of doing it. In fact, I think they will do this.
if Verlander is a factor in the decision. I think that he should get his idea.
I can hear his echo.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't have a surgery. It's not like we can call in and give a little voice call. If good, I would. And I would say, maybe he's my man, or Cy Young, mainly because of what he's been able to do with Houston, as well as him doing decent in Detroit.
I have a question, Miracle Man.
Yes, please.
So, does he get to pitch one more time?
Yes, he does, and that's going to be tonight.
So, if he pitches, then they got it.
As long as he does his job really well.
He seems to be.
Now, even though I'm predicting that he will, things can still happen. We know there's time will happen Friday night. In my mind, I was thinking that we were going to win the meeting. This could be the same order for Berlin. Prediction does not mean guarantee. And speaking of prediction, by the way, I am going to now broadcast that prediction as far as what I believe the score will be and what have you. And what I see is Astros 3, Dodgers 2.
5-3.
One run by Verlander, given up, and another given up by the bullpen. And I think they're going to close it out tonight on the road. And Houston is going to have something to do for it.
And Houston wins. Houston needs to win, don't they? Can you hear me? Houston needs to win, don't they?
Well, they are up 3-2 because they're up 3-2. A win tonight gets them the World Series. And even if they blow it tonight, they can get tomorrow night. But they're in Los Angeles. And losing tonight would be like gambling at the casino. Because they're on the road. And to them, being on that road is like that casino. You're gambling it away. If once it gets tied, if you're on the road, it's like you're gambling away at the casino. So to avoid that, I hope they just win tonight. Like I want them to, and like which I think they will do, and you'll have an AL team winning the World Series in the Houston Astros for the first time ever winning the World Series with some biscuits and gravy on top. No, barbecue or something else. Now, you've got Pistons tonight on the road. I believe they're in Phoenix. Keep doing what you're doing, Pistons. They're doing a good job, 5-2. And then what you have is, so that's what you have there. So, folks. Been a great show. I really hope you've enjoyed this tonight. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.